I'm going to refer back to this song in a little while. Perhaps it's because I need to do this, but just going to give you an opportunity to still your heart, just be aware of God. I just want to play the first verse and chorus again. Okay, we'll reference that in just a little while. We're going to be using a bunch of videos again this morning to take us through what we've got to say. The talk is once again in the series. Last time we were on it was 3 weeks ago. Platform 9 3/4. The reason that we've chosen platform 9 3/4 as our theme, it's the point where Harry, in the film, actually comes up against the fact that there are two worlds that are so close to one another, and that he lives right on the edge of those two worlds. And whether you find it difficult when I refer to muggles and wizards, we live in both of those worlds, okay? And the problem is that we seem to get stuck in a place where we think that bricks and mortar stop us accessing that. Now, for those of you who need reminding, and here we are. Just talk about what real life is like. The more stuff comes out as I do. You've got these guys who are there on the platform. Nobody else can see what's going on. Yeah, they really are entering into a different world. And then somebody says to them, "Oh, it's easy. All you've got to do is walk straight at the wall." And of course, you can't do that. Your body just stops you from walking, unless you're nuts. Or drunk, from walking straight at a wall. And often it's like that in our getting to know God. But between here and the other world, it isn't that when we die we will go to heaven. It's heaven, it's not thou and then, now and then, right? It's here and now that heaven exists beside us. And when we read about God's will being done on earth now, as it is in heaven now, when we talk, if you're sort of into heavily advanced Christianity, and by the way, there are several marks of being heavily advanced Christianity. Most of them have to do with serving and having disciples. They don't have very much to do with being able to quote bits of the Bible. As we sometimes say, the devil probably knows the Bible better than most of us. But there's that bit in the Bible about being within the veil, about when Jesus died, the veil that held the holy place back was torn, and it was torn all the way down. And only very few people had ever seen behind that. And I don't know what they did, but somebody must have tried to stitch it up again so that the temple services could carry on. But God never intended that to be the case. He intended that veil to be ripped so that we could enter into the other world. We could cross platforms and we could find a place where we were comfortable and happy with God. Now, I'm going to do a whole talk on that in a few weeks' time, because it's one of the things that's very important to me in understanding how we notice God. And then there's what we've talked about thin places, the kingdom being near. Now, we've got some goals. Our first goal in this series is that we notice God more. Okay, God is here. God is everywhere. The issue is not with whether God is there, but whether we've got the equipment to notice him. The second thing is that we want to pay more attention to God. We want to attend to God more and then to respond to him. Noticing God without paying attention to him is downright rude, and paying attention to him without responding to him is downright stupid, because he's God. And if anybody knows how to make life work, it's him, not me. Okay? So they're the goals, pushing along nicely. I'll get distracted in a minute, but let's keep going. What I want you to do is to talk to one another in a minute about how you're doing in noticing God. You don't want to hear about how I'm doing, because it's not always very well. Thank you very much. Sometimes I do, but it tends to be in emergency times that I notice God, and I suddenly say, "Where are you, God?" And I realise that God's been there all the time. It's me who's the one who has not been attending to what's going on. And I'll come back to that, because I think that story about trying to find Nathan is a real example. You guys didn't quite get it because you weren't there this morning, but it was quite a story, and I'll be able to tell you about that in a minute. But I want you to talk to one another about how you're doing at noticing God. But before I do, I want to show you a video which I think is really very helpful. It was apparently on the Daily Mail website and then has got bounced around the internet. But it's really important that we learn to talk reflectively about what's going on in our lives. And this is a conversation. Well, it's not a conversation. It's somebody talking to themselves, a small child talking to themselves, recorded from behind the bathroom door. The mother has heard a conversation going on and has recorded this child thinking about what's happening. And really, we need to do that so much, because bad stuff happens to us, good stuff happens to us, and sometimes we just let it pass by. But if we can talk reflectively to one another, not about the process that is going on here, but about the processes in our life, it's really helpful. I thought this was magnificent. Towards the end, I'm not sure whether the mother is laughing or crying, actually, as she's listening to this, and there are captions because it's quite hard to hear. So going back, we'll get there in a moment. Yep. And every day, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, if we only had the ability to actually say, "This is what has happened. That was the consequences." Mind you, that kid will still be doing that after a heavy night with curry. Sorry about that. It just sort of occurred later in life. The ability to think reflectively, to talk reflectively, is what makes us progress in our spiritual life. You know, we get doctrines and teachings, and we've got normative teachings. They're the teachings that everybody thinks we ought to have. And then we get the teachings that we say we have, the espoused teachings. But then we get the ones that we actually live. And somehow, pushing backwards from where we're living is really important, because lots of us live sad lives because we've got these expectations which God isn't putting on us, and there's a real gap. Now, I'm not saying that all my life is where I ought to be, but at least all my life is where I am. And when I'm truthful about that and start to push backwards from there and say, why did this happen? Okay, that kid is really good. He actually lists all the factors. He's a potential systems thinker in later life. He doesn't make the assumption that stuff just happens and you can't do anything about it. You know, he recognises that he eats stuff and that has consequences. Yeah? And so that's why. Now, that's the question. How have you done at noticing God recently? How are you doing at the moment? Where have you noticed God? What do you think is making it more difficult for you to notice him? What's helping you to notice him? We'll report back in about 3 minutes. And not record your responses. Okay. Sometimes it's really valuable to feedback what's been happening. But you know, quite often when we're talking about noticing God, it really is difficult. And there are some reasons for this that people understand. But those really deep things that happen to us, you can perhaps recall special times, and it's really difficult to explain what was going on at the time. And for David and I and for Andy, and when we were trying to find poor old Nathan, who still thinks that he had made an arrangement to be met at the Bridge Centre, but that's an argument for him and Andy to sort out. Yeah. You know, we were quite concerned, because there's somebody, we've got no way of contacting him, he's stuck in the middle of town, as always he goes out without a sweater on, and you know, and all that sort of stuff. And I'd waited till my money ran out in the car, and then I'd driven round to check out some places where he might be, and I was thinking, I can remember when I was a teenager, and my dad was spending time with a lot of guys, the number of times he and other people would have been out looking, right? Okay, make of that what you will. But those times, and we looked to God. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, you know, Dave's response really blessed me, because Dave is as tired as anybody at the moment. He's really been putting in the hours. He said to me, do you need me to go and look? That was the first thing he said, not, oh dear, but you need me to go and look. I said, well, let's hang on, because we don't know where to look. And then suddenly the coincidence happens that Keith sees you. Keith?
No, I see Keith.
Okay, well, you see Keith, you talk to Keith. The dynamic is, the detail isn't so, the detail is really difficult to communicate. Keith happens to have David's phone number, and as David said, don't know where he got my mobile number, and calls David, and David says, hang on, there's the connection. We're praying, Lord, show us. And God does just that. So we can't understand why you weren't all standing on your chairs, waving your hands in the air, singing, our God reigns, isn't God good? But it's because you weren't there. Didn't happen. It's really, really hard to communicate. And that is in the nature of the experiences we have of God, that they are ineffable, they are noetic, they are transitory, or in other words, you can't describe them. They're indescribable. Just in the way that God creates things, it's indescribable. Right? When God actually touches our lives, when he speaks to us, when he does something for us, you find you're using your hands and saying, you know. And like that, you know what I mean, don't you? When it's quite evident that nobody else does, because it happened to you and was for you. And of course, the second thing is that it happens in the mind. Don't worry about that. It doesn't mean you're making it up, because even with Daniel, it happened in the mind. You know, the revelations that he had, he said, it was in my mind that it happened. And then is the fact that it doesn't last for long. It comes in and it goes away. It comes in and it goes away. And it's surprising how it happens. There are some people who seem to live there all the time. Some of them are too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. Right? But that's the way it is for most of us. Now, what I want to do this morning is to actually concentrate on those dramatic moments, and we go back to Elijah. And you remember, this is Elijah with a J and not Elisha with a shush, because his story is different. Okay, we pointed out some of the important things that happened in his life. What was the first thing we read about Elijah in my special, very clear picture? Up at the top left-hand corner. Come on, guys. I went to all that effort of drawing them. It was a drought. God said to him, sun's going to shine, there's going to be no rain, there's going to be a drought, all the plants will die. Okay? And then God did something really, really strange, right? What was that? He sent ravens carrying beef burgers to him, didn't he? Because they had meat and they had bread. I don't know whether they made them up before or whether he was expected to make his own sandwiches when they were delivered. He sat him beside a brook, but then eventually the brook dried up. You know, sometimes things happen in strange ways, don't they? You know, of all the stupid things that happened was that Nathan turned up at the office. David had gone. We'd agreed that I would stay. So I'm sitting there reading in the office. Owen intercepts Nathan as he comes through the door and says, there's nobody there. You know? And you think, God, why couldn't you have sorted it at that point? It would have been far less stressful. Why didn't God sort it at that point? Somebody tell me. Yeah. We're so poor at noticing him, you know, that those things, God wants to show his glory. And God did show his glory because it made us go, wow. And the ordinary word for the religious word glory is wow. Okay? God's glory. We beheld God's glory and we went, wow, that's awesome. Yeah? That's the way we are. So there was that one. And then what happened about this bread thing? This is bread, by the way. What was the next miracle thing that happened in his life? Yeah, there was a lady who had got a child, and and Elijah went and said, don't worry about the fact that you and your child are going to eat that food and die. Make something for me first. And she made it, and the flour and the oil never ran out. That was part of God's provision. Okay? And of course, as we said that Sunday, part of God's provision is his people, and then we lived it. Yeah? Okay? Then there was another miracle, and that was when her son died. Right, here he is dead. He was much bigger than this, right? But it's easier to draw a picture of a dead person at that size. Yep. And then he got healed. And then after that was the big miracle that everybody remembers, because it's one of those that's probably only ever happened one time in the history of the world. And that was, God sent fire from heaven, didn't he? And burned up the sacrifice even after water had been poured all over it. So they're the bits that I wanted to look at today. Now, the thing is this, that we know that this stuff happened over the course of 3 years in Elijah's life. For most people, it doesn't actually happen that way. We will see one or two great things that God does. And to be honest, if you look at the Acts of the Apostles, they only saw one or two things at a time. And for instance, this business of tongues of fire coming down, how often did that happen? I think there's once. We don't know whether tongues of fire sat on them. We knew that the place was shaken twice. No other records of the place being shaken. Hey guys, wake up and smell the coffee. We talk about miracles, and we call them miracles because they don't happen that often. Even by Acts chapter 10, those guys were experiencing the contradictions, because what had happened is that there were two people who were really preaching. One was called James, one was called Peter. And what happened was James was executed. And they were all waiting for Peter to be executed. And God rescues Peter in an amazing way, in which we haven't got time to go into. They see the contradictions in life, and we do. The problem is, if we tell one another that miracles should be happening all the time, every moment of the day, big miracles, then it just doesn't work like that. And nobody, nowhere, nohow is experiencing miracles at the rate that the guys who do the big publicity claim that they're seeing. It just doesn't happen. The evidence is not there. Miracles are called miracles because they're rare, but they're relevant. And we don't deny miracles. We say, God, bring it on. And we need miracles. We want to see them. And what I want to say to you today, one of the big takeaways is this, that everybody at some point needs to see a miracle in their life. Because when the bad days come, you look back and you say, I know God is real because he did this. We saw this happen. We saw God meet this need. And you know that's the way it is. There are some ordinary miracles as well. So ordinary miracle this week finds that Rolf finds that he hasn't got diabetes. He's just getting old, like the rest of us. Yeah. But then you think of what happened to him earlier this year. At one point, we're hearing the story that he's going to be stranded in Australia for 3 months. Suddenly back in here. That looks like a pretty major miracle to me when you see that. And we've all got those times. We have ordinary miracles, and according to what Luke said in Acts, there are extraordinary miracles as well. We have times when we notice God in ordinary ways. We have times when we notice God in exceptional ways. So let's have a look at one of these exceptional ways, one that's really important for us. Actually, I've still got another two videos after this to show you, so I'd better get a move on. Come on. Okay, very famous bit of the Bible. They had real courage to try and visualise this, because I don't think it happened like this. But what I'm going to ask you, after you've seen this, is what do you think it was really like? Okay.
The day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place.
Okay, how would you have done it? All the budding film directors, auteurs, how would you have had a go at this? What wouldn't you have done that they did? What would you have done differently?
We wouldn't have done the curtain thing, because it was just the sound of the wind.
The sound of the wind.
And the wind would have been louder.
All right, the wind would have been louder. Anything else?
I think everything would have been louder.
Okay. Yeah, but this is the man who does prayer table, as we've all noticed, and does everything louder. Yeah. Okay, yep. Yeah, what else?
I was wondering whether it was a bit like, you know, the gap between heaven and earth kind of opening.
How would you have shown that?
A bit more.
You're supposed to be a filmmaker.
Yeah, a bit more red and orange in the flames. It looked a bit like blue.
Yeah. I think the bit for me, because the pictures I've seen as a kid, is the film should have shown the tongues of fire separating and coming each of them, which is why all godly men are bald afterwards. You know, fire sit on them. Yeah, I would have expected that. I would have cut the music, because music wouldn't have been like that. And certainly the fact is, I know God was doing miracles that day, but to have a set of strings which hadn't been invented then was probably a bit much. But anyway, the music, you could dumb it out. And did you notice that it was framed in our sort of charismatic responses? Hands in the air, and that sort of, you know God's moving on somebody when they've got that sort of smile, sort of born again smile, that puts people off when you meet them in the street. They would have certainly been flat on their faces, I would have thought, in the culture of the time. And they probably would have been a bit scared. Because if in any case you were pretty wound up because you were scared of being attacked and wiped out, when suddenly you hear a rushing wind and it looks like a poison gas attack through the roof, there's got to be something going on. Hey, why am I messing this about? These guys did a brilliant job, they at least made the attempt to get it on film. But what I'm trying to say is this, that when God intervenes in our lives dramatically, it's really important. And if you've never come to a point in your life where you can say, the Holy Spirit has shown him or herself, really don't mind which one you take on that, to me in a definite way. If you've not come to that point, then I think you need that. And sometime, guys, I think we need to have one of those experiences altogether, where the Holy Spirit comes and shows us in power, but doesn't come in some kind of formulaic way, right? You know, that happens elsewhere. Because we know that it's going to be what works for us and what works for the kind of thing that God's called us to. But come, Holy Spirit, we pray. We'll come back to that in just a minute. But just wanted to pick up a couple of other things. Let me just make sure that I've got through in my notes. These things, these signs and wonders, are rare, but they're relevant. Okay, they matter. So noticing God when he's working powerfully is important. Noticing God when he answers prayer. And you know, I was ready to notice God again yesterday afternoon, because I had gone into town to pick up a very special present that Wendy had brought me. Don't need to know what it is, but you do know that the new iPad Air came out on Friday. I'd gone into town and I wanted to meet up with Nathan. And yet again, of course, we don't manage to text correctly. And then I think, no, I won't go back home. I just walked down to where I know he was. And suddenly I heard this voice saying, Dave. And I thought, oh, God, where are you? You know, so this really, no. I thought, it can't be. And there he was. He was standing at the bus stop. And I don't think I would have made so much of that divine connection if we hadn't been geared up to what had happened earlier in the week. And there's part of noticing God at work which is really down to what we're looking for and what we're expecting. Okay, we're not making it up, we're not overrating it, but we're just getting ourselves to a place where we expect God to work. Okay, I've said about ordinary meetings and ordinary miracles. But I want to say something about why this is important. Now, I want to show you the start of a really weird film. Okay, you can watch this film if you like. It goes on for about an hour and a half. And after I got to the end of it, I decided I wasn't sure whether I needed to watch all of it. Which is about awareness. It's not about Christian awareness. But this guy makes a brilliant point about why he started to go on this road trip and make a film. So, here you are.
One day I was skateboarding at the beach after work, and the sunset was beautiful and everybody was smiling but me. I was sad because I was lonely, because I was heartbroken, and I was stressed, like really stressed. And at the time, I had a great paying job, but believe me, no amount of money is worth all that stress. But then something absolutely miraculous happened. I found myself lying on the ground with my elbow bent the wrong way. For about 10 seconds, all the emotional fear that I was feeling all over my body had instantly disappeared. And the only pain that I was experiencing was condensed to just one spot. And I felt so incredibly light. Even though the physical pain was very intense, it was all the emotional pain that was completely gone. And it took me several months to figure out just exactly what happens to me that day. My best friend gave me two books while I was recovering from surgery. One was The Secret, and the other was The Power of Now. The only problem was that The Secret was saying how powerful thoughts are to manifest what you want and what you don't want, and The Power of Now was talking about how thoughts continuously want more than they want to have. And on top of that, he even said I'm having my own thoughts. Now, I've always known that I hear my own thoughts, but this was more or less a matter of practicing being aware of the thoughts as if though they are not mine. And as I tried it, something occurred that changed me forever. I became aware of awareness itself, and so I decided to make a movie about it.
That's about the sort of well-being culture that's around and is out there on the fringes. But it does have some interesting things to say. The first thing is this, that when something dramatic happened, when something really bad happened, like breaking your elbow, everything else recedes into the background. Okay? That's understanding that you actually hear your thoughts go round in your head. How many times have you said to yourself, if only I could stop thinking about this? If only I could shut my thoughts out? And of course there is an answer to this, which is rather better than his books, and it's in an old 1920s song. You know that one that goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Right, the emotional baggage, everything else, in the light of his glory and grace. That's what we're looking for, guys, in terms of payoff. As we notice God, as we increase our awareness of him, as we respond to him, we're looking for those great days when you can say, Lord, all this stuff's coming in. You know, stuff like exams and money, and boyfriends and girlfriends, and people bullying other people, and aggravation that we're getting at work, and people being difficult to us, and the fact that we don't feel as well as we would want to. All these thoughts that we're listening to, we can turn our eyes upon Jesus. Now, if anybody's got this sussed, please come up and take over this series. We're working at it and finding it good on some days and difficult on others. Sometimes I find it easier when I'm tired. Most times I don't, you know. I need to get rid of the thoughts, to have a little sleep, to be able to wake up, to notice God more, to concentrate. It's a bit of a catch-22. But I just wanted to show you a final video about we've talked about the miracles. And I want to talk about the dramatic experiences that we have to finish off. And this woman is a reporter. She is quite unusual as an American. She's a New Englander. She's very refined in the way she approaches things. She's a reporter for NPR Radio, National Public Radio, which is the sort of Radio 4 in America. And out of this experience that happened to her, she started a research project to find out what happens in people's brains when they meet God. And she's published it as a book called The Footprints of God. And this is a 1.5 minute clip from a 38 minute talk she gave. And I'll link you to the talk. It's really, really, really worth watching the whole thing. But just listen to this woman. What had happened is that she'd gone to, what's the church in
Saddleback.
Saddleback. She'd gone to Saddleback to find out what was going on there. And she'd been hearing a woman talking about her experiences. And they'd sat down to talk.
And I want to see here. We were sitting on a bench under a street light, and it had grown dark. And it felt as if we were actors on a circular stage, right? And as Kevin talked, something very strange happened. The air grew moist and warm. It was as if someone were breathing on us. It was visceral. It hit me, and I looked over at Kathy, and she had stopped talking because she felt it too. And we just sat there for 30, 40 seconds. It seemed like a really long time. And then the kind of sensation of someone breathing on us this warm just ebbed. And I looked at Kathy and I said, well, Kathy's been so nice talking to you. I need to go back to L.A. right now, and so I'll stay in touch, okay? And so I hightailed it out there as quickly as I could because I was really, really spooked. Nothing like that had ever happened to me. And as I drove back from Orange County to L.A., I wondered, what happened in that moment? I mean, was it a delusion? Was it unusual electrical firings in my temporal lobe? Was I crazy? Or is it possible that there is a God or some force that on occasion steps into the circle of light and breathes on you? I thought about this for several years. It was actually a turning point in the way I thought about life. But I didn't really get a chance to do anything about it.
Okay. So why show you that story? I think it's a fantastic story because most of us can say, yeah, I don't know whether I would have described it like that, but I have known a time where suddenly time stopped, where I have felt as though I was in touch with God. The thing that was brilliant about that one is that the two people were experiencing it at the same time, which is fantastic, isn't it? But it changed her life. And guys, here are some things to take away, some prayer things today. First of all, let's pray that God will give us some times together. I think over the last 3-4 weeks, God has shown us some ways in which as a church it is possible to have times together in community, which has given rise to some of the experiences that we've talked about today, where the Spirit breaks in, a corporate experience of the Spirit of God, which becomes memorable. That's the first thing. The second thing, because we're a missional church and mission is our organising principle, let's pray that as we have contact with people during the week, that we're able to reach out towards them and bring that presence of God. So next Saturday night, I am praying, I'll tell you afterwards if I'm believing, but I am praying that next Saturday night there will be people who will have that sort of moment which spooks them. Yeah? I want guys to get spooked. I want to see them so weirded, they say, wow, this must be God, or I must be crazy. Yeah? Because that's the way it all starts. Let's pray, and then we'll go off and sort out lunch. Father, Jesus, powerful, powerful Holy Spirit, that works in all sorts of different ways that we can't really explain. We pray that you will help us to notice you more. We want to apologise for the way in which we rattle on through our lives, trying to cope with things that we're not supposed to cope with without your help. We pray that you will give us your grace, your help. You'll put your favour on us, so that we're able to discern where you are. Amen.